Hello and welcome again. Now we'll discuss a little bit about how to design management structure for your project and how to describe risks of your project. And we are talking about now third section of your proposal. And let's start first from 3.1, coherence and effectiveness of work plan, including appropriateness and allocation of tasks and resources. And first of all, I have to say that about the coherence, so of course you can describe it here, but it also, coherence of your proposal also comes from the little details, for example, that you have interlinked with numbers, work packages, objectives, deliverable milestones, and so on. So this is not just a matter of this section, but please check that you will you will be coherent when describing management throughout your proposal. And this is now again the text that funder gives, the instructions that funder gives. So you should include here work package titles, indications of major deliverables, indication of major milestones and segments if you have those, and so on. And now when we look a little bit more in detail, so you really need to explain here, why do you need 24 or 12 months for this project? How will you spend this time? And regards to segments, why do you need 3 months in certain place? What will you do there? What will you learn there? And same with the short visits, there needs to be justification. And this is all to convince reader that you have thought details about your project. You have planned everything. And when you get the funding, you can just start to do things. You don't have to plan anymore. So please avoid referring things like that, I will plan this and this when I will get the funding. That's not good. They really want to see that you have planned everything and you know what you're about to do. It is also wise somehow to indicate what is supervisor's contribution for this project. For example, regular meetings and guidance to you. Also, other help available at the research environment should be described. And now, to give you an idea what kind of structure a research project could have, or what is actually expected quite often, is that, of course, you have certain need that your research is addressing. Then you have the project idea and concept, and you have your objectives. And all these you have now described previously in your proposal. And now we come to the part two, implementation. So the first part is scientific concept, the need for the research, their background, and so on. And here in management section, we actually describe the implementation of your project. And quite often, management is described as work packages. So the work is divided into work packages, which are thematic. And what I would love to see is that when you have objective one, then you can refer to work package one and vice versa. So that these are interlinked, as well as your deliverables, and even if you have any indicators, then the indicators are interlinked. And here we focus on implementation. In addition to implementation, there is of course impact, and this you mainly describe when you describe your communication dissemination activities, and I have another video on that. So impact goes there, but here we focus on implementation. Work packages, deliverables, milestones. Let's see what those are. Let's see how funder defines a deliverable and a milestone. So deliverable is distinct output of action, meaningful in terms of action overall objectives, and maybe a report, a document, a technical diagram, a software, and so on. So what I would say for you that it is most convenient for you that you name such deliverables that you would produce anyway. For example, manuscript of a journal article is a good deliverable because you will produce it anyway. If you say that you will produce a report, for example, that is additional report to funder that you wouldn't do otherwise. So it means extra work for you. But if you do the manuscript anyway, it is good to name that as deliverable instead of separate report. Another aspect to this is that please don't promise publications as deliverables, because a publication process can have long delays and things that you cannot yourself have lots of influence. For example, the schedule could be longish. So in that sense, the manuscript or submitted version is better deliverable than a published article, which might lead you into troubles when you're reporting for the funder. Then when we think about milestone, it is something that is not that concrete. It doesn't need to be concrete, reportable product, but it is some kind of a achievement or control point in a time that now, for example, at this milestone, I have collected all the data. That can be a milestone. So it is not a concrete report or anything, but it is a milestone I have achieved by the month 6, for example, to collect all the data, which that I will then later on analyze, and perhaps finishing the data analysis is another milestone. So take care, read through these definitions and follow always the funder's terminology. Then something what is expected for you to show how your project outline goes on quite often is a Gantt chart. Here's an example of a Gantt chart. Here's quite many work packages, 7. I would say this is too much for a 2-year project. This is a 3-year project, as you can see here. But here are typical work packages. So typically you have some scientific work packages, let's say in your case, 1 to 3 would be appropriate. And then you have a management work package, perhaps a dissemination and communication work package. And this kind of management and dissemination work packages usually continue throughout the project, whereas the scientific work packages can be only, let's say here, for example, work package 3, field work, is carried out for 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 months. And this is just a brief overview for reviewer to show how you have designed your project. Of course, there are always unforeseen things and you can't be that exact, but this is your best guess how the project will go if everything goes as you have planned. And when something sudden happens, there's always possibility to make an amendment and ask permission to make changes. Now, when we look a little bit more in detail, how to design a work package. So as I already say, perhaps maximum 3 scientific work packages for this 2-year period is appropriate. And when you consider about the scientific work packages, please define the aim, or if it already is, let's say objective 1, please refer to objective 1. In this work package, objective 1 is still. And define what are the specific tasks or sub-objectives that you are going to do within this work package. What kind of methods you will use, if you have already explained them in separate methods section, please refer to that section. List deliverables, for example, article drafts, reports, data sets, whatever it could be, but something that you can report to funder easily. List results, list milestones, list risks. And you, in this proposal, risks doesn't need to be presented under the work packages necessarily. There's a separate section for risks, so we see that later on. Consider timing of activities. What do you need to do before you can proceed to something else? Usually you need to, for example, collect the data before you can proceed to analysis, and the natural flow of work packages comes from this workflow. So basically, this is just a systematic way to show your workflow during the project. Then we move on to appropriateness of the management structure, procedures, including risk management. And here's again funders' instructions, and then I will give you some insights what I think you should include there. And actually, I've used here quite a good reference document, which is Net for Mobility Plus guide for Marie Curie Individual Fellowship. And this is a project of national contact points of Marie Curie actions. And I have a link to it further on. And it, for example, they always list strengths and weaknesses that are common for this section of proposal. So they recommend that in this section, you use subheadings. And first of the subheading, you can number 3.2.1, or you can leave it without number. But the heading is Progress, Monitoring, and Management Structures. And here you should explain how research, training, and career planning will be monitored. And you can refer back to section 1.2. How will supervisors support the project progress? For example, we will have bi-weekly meetings. And supervisor and researcher are the main managers here. So you explain that I will manage this project under the guidance of my supervisor. And so on, if you can give further details. Then there will be subheading 3.2.2, support services provided by the host organization. And I have given you lots of ideas for this in templates that I have annotated for you. So please check the annotated templates for the descriptions of University of Jyväskylä services. And table might be appropriate here. Then, if you have involvement of an entity with a capital or legal link, this is mainly if you have secondmen in some of the entity that has legal link, then you might need to include this section. Usually, in our case, there is not such. 3.2.4, risks and contingency plan. And here also, table is appropriate. And here's an example how the table describing risks could look like. So you have a risk, you have a work package number, so you link it to specific work package, and then you explain how the risk is dealt. So for example, what kind of measures to mitigate the risks you have. For example, you have a certain kind of novel method to study something. There are risks that it doesn't succeed. But then you can say there that I am, or my supervisor is very experienced or has been developing this method, and that's why we know exactly how it works, and this mitigates the risk to use the specific method. Something like this. So risk at work practice relates to and how you mitigate or handle the risk, or what is your plan B. And here's the link to reference document I already told you about, this National Contact Point Handbook. Very, very useful document. This is for the year 2019, but I'm expecting that new version will be published soon. And anyway, there is no big changes for the call this year. Here are a few examples about the services University of Jyväskylä offers. So for example, we always keep internal kickoff meeting for all the projects where we discuss grant agreement, project financial management, IPR issues, communication dissemination, and so on. We have financial services who will help you to take care of the project financing and reporting. We have digital services help you with the web pages, data storage, big equipment, and so on. We also offer all the basic di digital services. In research and innovation services, we help you regarding to the project and applying for new funding. And we also have IPR specialists and research integrity specialists in our team. Then there is HR team, and HR is responsible on all your secondments. If you are traveling abroad for secondment or short visits, and anything else that is involved with your employment. Now, as I already referred, in the National Contact Point guidance document, they often give these weaknesses and strengths of certain section. Now, if we look back at the section 3.2, that is describing risks, and the strength of this section is that the project has clear and appropriate organization and management structure. So it is known who does what does. I have support from financial services. I am managing the project with guidance of my supervisor, and so on. And for the Global Fellowship, they expect to see that the management structure covers both outgoing and return phases. This is very important for the Global Fellowship. That you have already planned remedial actions to overcome areas of risks identified. This is the mitigation measures I already discussed. And that you have described in sufficient detail the support that you have available. This is the administrative services, financial management, but also the personnel at your host department, and the services available and support available there. What is the usual weaknesses here when the project hasn't been funded is that you haven't identified the risks, or when you have identified, you don't have appropriate measures to mitigate them. And alternative experimental strategies and contingency plans are not sufficiently elaborated. You don't have sufficient risk categories, potential risks, likelihood, and mitigation measures are not described. Or the tasks are not presented in sufficient detail. So I think the devil is in detail in this proposal. You really can't be too detailed. Now I will go back a little bit and mention again the career development plan. We have this HR for Excellence Award at University of Jyväskylä, and we really address this that your research career will be taken seriously and you will have career development plan that is built for you at the very beginning of your fellowship. And please remember to mention it. You can mention it in section 1.2.1. You can also refer it to here, 3.2. But please don't include career development plan into your proposal, but remember to mention that one will be made for you. And that it will follow the principles of European Charter of Researchers. And here are some examples of topics that can be discussed in career development plan, so you can get the idea what it can include. But as I already said, please don't include one into your proposal. Then a few words about the data management plan. You could refer in 3.2 and perhaps in 2.2 dissemination to data management plan, and perhaps here in 3.2 you could shortly with few sentences outline what it means. So in European Commission funding, they will ask on A forms, will you take part to this open data pilot? And if you say no, you need to give reason why. It is okay to say no, but then you have to have reason why you are not taking part. And when you are taking part, and when you get the funding, you are expected to make a data management plan. And therefore, it is good to mention that one will be made and some guiding principles. And to help you out with this, I have given you here some University of Jyväskylä open access guidelines. So we're a university that really promotes open access, and we have our own repository, and we have actually what is traditionally called library, we call Open Data Center, and they have lots of support courses and also repositories and facilities for you to use with your project and to help you to make your both your publications and your data open and available. And this is all for now. Thank you for watching. Bye.